Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Hey everybody, this is going to be part two of our fellowship episode. I guess it's a series now, but we had some technical difficulties, so we're gonna hop right back into it and try to finish this up. So we talked about in the last episode, if you go back and listen to it, we talked about fellowship with unbelievers, and then we started talking about fellowship with other Christians, and we might get to that later in this episode. But I want to talk about fellowship with God, because this one is the most important. Matthew 22, verse 37 through 38. I don't know if it picked this up in the other episode, so I'm going to say it again. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Our communication and fellowship with God needs to be the most important things in our lives. You know, if we have the proper fellowship with him, then it'll trickle down in our relationship with others as well. And you know, the closer you get to God, the closer he's going to get to you. You know, mm-hmm. The Bible says, draw nigh to me and I will draw mm-hmm. nigh unto you. In a similar way, you know, you look at the prodigal son leaving the father, you know, the father was still there, but the further and further and further he went, he was further and further away from the father. So, you know, that fellowship with the father had been severed there for a little bit. But you can see when the prodigal comes back, the father runs to him, mm-hmm. meets him there, right? The son drew nigh to him and the father drew nigh back. So it's important to have fellowship with God and to grow closer to him, because again, we talked about, you know, fellowship with unbelievers. You can't have proper fellowship with unbelievers because, you know, if you're in yourself, you're going to be too weak. But if you have fellowship with Jesus, if you have fellowship with God, you're going to be able to, one, withstand temptations, right? And two, you're going to have the proper spirit in order to reach those people that need Christ.
Well, until you understand that you have to have a healthy relationship with God before you can have a healthy relationship with anybody else, mm-hmm. whether it be your spouse, your children, friends, unbelievers, or whatever. And until you understand, you know, that you have to put God first and you have to have that relationship before you can have any others. And I'm still not real good at it, but you can't expect to have friends if you're not friendly,
mm-hmm.
and you can't be friendly if you don't have the love of God in you.
Yeah, right.
So it's all just it all kind of trickles down from there. But you know, without a healthy relationship with God, then you can't have a healthy. You don't even understand what a relationship is.
Right.
That's it.
Right. And I mean, how do you have fellowship with God? You know, it comes with prayer. It comes mm-hmm. with reading the Word of God. It comes with praise. One of the speakers at the men's conference this past week was talking about, you know, he was talking about you know, what's necessary for revival, mm-hmm. and it's like plugging back into Jesus is, you know, it requires prayer and it requires praise, but it also requires passion mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, in order to have fellowship with God, you need to be communicating with him daily. We've talked about this numerous times. You know, if I was married to Rachel, but I never talked to her, you know, how close is that relationship right. going to be? Mm-hmm. You know, if I have a relationship with other Christians, but I never hang out with Christians, you know, how much am I going to mimic other Christians, mm-hmm. right? How much am I going to show Christ if I'm not plugged into that relationship with Christ? Yeah. So it's definitely important to have fellowship with God, because it, like you said, everything trickles down mm-hmm. toward fellowship with unbelievers and fellowship with other Christians as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you worship Him, it makes you want to worship with others, talk about Him, you know, and I think that's the nature of it, is that that's why you have churches that when they get together and worship God, they get along better
because
mm-hmm. their mind is on God, mm-hmm. you know, and if your mind's not on God when you get here, you're not going to worship Him.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be worried about your own problems and things, and but when a church comes in with a mind to worship God, you see it. I mean, there's no question. And they get along with one another. They may not agree with everything, but they get along for the purpose of worshiping God and loving God. And so it reflects that. And, you know, you don't have a church if their mind's not on God.
Right. Right. And too, I mean, when we don't have fellowship with God and with other believers, when we don't have that, we fall victim to the self, right? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I've talked about this numerous times, you know, you're either a servant of God or you're a servant to sin. Mm-hmm. There's no in between, right? And so a lot of times when God is put on a back burner or is not priority mm-hmm. in your relationships, you can certainly see how, you know, yourself and your flesh and the vices that you have start coming back out again, because you know, it's, the Bible talks about it as being like, you know, committing adultery mm-hmm. on Christ, and it's like, as humans, it feels like we turn into this thing of worshiping ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see this with like the atheist community,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have no gods because their God is themselves. They think they're all knowing,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. They think they know everything and that Christians are dumb for believing in God. But we have the reverence of God, of an almighty creator, you yeah. know, and we have the humbleness to understand, you know, we don't know everything. We won't know all the mysteries of heaven until we go there. Mm-hmm.
You need him every hour,
but you need him. But how sad it is for those who are atheists and say there is no God, because they're worshiping a God in a way, but they're just worshiping themselves. So they're worshiping a God. They just don't recognize that it's this God that they've made. You know, they don't recognize. They say stuff like, you know, I don't worship a spaghetti monster in the sky. I don't know if you ever heard that. Or I don't worship this make-believe man with a beard up in the sky and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But if they could understand the relationship with Christ and with God, it's so much deeper mm-hmm. than some distant relationship. You know, He treats us as sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you understand that God has characteristics, because he has human characteristics like we do, because we're made in His image, right? But he's also a good father, and He meets with us. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. He will have fellowship with you if you want to have fellowship with Him. Yeah. He's not going to force you. We talked about free will last mm-hmm. time. He's not going to force you to have a relationship with Him.
Yeah.
But if you want to be a light to other people, if you want to live a life that's fulfilling,
mm-hmm.
you will strive to have fellowship with God.
Yeah.
Because the times of my life where I was the loneliest and where I fell into sin the most, and it led me to a dark path and led me to, you know, death, you know, spiritual death, but also, you know, like, in my heart, I knew I wasn't where I needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there it comes that guilt of being a Christian. It's that conscience that's led by the Holy Spirit that's saying, hey, you're convicted about this. But whenever I didn't have that relationship, that fellowship with him, that's when I was the loneliest. That's when I felt mm-hmm. no hope. That's where I was miserable. And though, you know, I had sinful actions that were pleasurable in the moment, you know, and I strayed away from Christ and turned my back on him. And like the prodigal son, I went away. I'm going to say, I'm going to go do my own thing because mm-hmm. my way is higher than yours. You know, that's when I realized that, you know, I'm in a hog pen and I need you there. Mm-hmm. It's important for you to be in my life and not necessarily, you know, be the father back home. You know, it needs to be, I need to be living with him and, yeah. you know, being
his son. You had it so much better there.
Right, right.
And this morning, it's not by accident now, thinking about it, but Dennis Quaid was talking about how that he was into, I mean, just he had a place in his life where he was in drugs, alcohol. And he said back then, rehabs didn't have swimming pools and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It was in the bottom of a hospital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said it was like 28 days there in that hospital. He checked himself in because he had found himself in a place where he was just like, I'm either going to die or something bad's going to happen. He said he got in there, and he said he studied the Bible. He read the Bible from front to back. And he said, I also read three or four other religious texts, you know, all these other religions. He said, the one thing that I found in the scriptures of the Bible was when I read about what Jesus said, and then it was personal. No other God, little g God, mm-hmm. provided that. There was no other personal connection in any other religion, yeah. any other faith, except for Jesus. He spoke to us as someone that cared, mm-hmm. that loved us so much that he gave his life for us. No other religion out there even comes close to that. And when we know that, and that he wants that kind of relationship with us, that he wants us to see him as our Father, God the Father, and that Jesus knew everything we go through because he went through it. Yeah, that's personal.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get that, you know, you want other people to feel that, and you want other people to know that.
Right.
And when you see somebody, that's the whole thing, is when you begin to know the love of God and you love others, like you said, but you start to look for those that are in need. You know, say you're doing fine, but you know somebody else is mm-hmm. discouraged. You start to see that, like he did us.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you need me. You know, and it, you're not judging people. What I'm saying is you're having compassion on people that are struggling.
Right.
And you're looking for that. You turn outward. And it keeps coming back to my mind is that until we look outward and not inward, we're not going to grow. We're going to feel alone when we're looking inward. If I'm worried about myself all the time and not seeing other people that are in need,
right,
then I'm going to be alone. Mm-hmm. I'm going to feel alone. So if I'm struggling, I need to look for somebody else that's struggling.
Right.
And let's struggle together.
Right.
Help each other.
What I thought too when you were saying all that is, you know, when you're dealing with temptation and you're struggling with something, you know, who better to turn to than to go to the person who was in all points tempted,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it again shows how important it is to yeah. go back to him, exactly. you know, with everything. Because, you know, he understands what you're going through, though you may not quite understand right. all of it. He understands what you're going through, and it's important to go to him for that guidance. Exactly. I know we talked about fellowship with Christians earlier, and, you know, relying on other people to help you in your walk and, you know, to help you in your guidance, you know, some seasoned Christians to mm-hmm. help you, to help guide you in the right ways. But the best person to go to is God.
Exactly.
and, you know, God will never leave you or forsake no. you. You don't got to worry about, you know, friends leaving you or...
Right.
things happening to your friends, because God's always there. He's constant. But it's so crucial to have that relationship with Him so that you can get through, so that you can get through all your issues and all your trials and temptations. Because he's not going to leave you high and dry.
Right.
Bible says He provides the way for temptation. The escape for right. temptation. But if you're not close to Him, if you're not looking for that, if you're not looking for that escape, you know, that's where you're going to fall easily into the trap. It's incredibly important to have good fellowship with God. And I wanted to talk a little bit about what we kind of missed through our technical difficulties as far as fellowship with other Christians. We don't have to go through all the way back through all of it, but I kind of wanted to just highlight a few things for anybody that's listening that wants to talk a little bit more about fellowship and how important it is for fellowship with other Christians, because this was not something I had a lot of before I came to Community Baptist Church. If you're listening to this, Community Baptist Church is a great place to come if you are longing for fellowship. I talked about earlier about how when I first came to Community Baptist Church, I was kind of overwhelmed because we fellowship quite a bit at this church. When I first started coming here, I kind of didn't like it, to be honest, because it was a little too much for me. But the more we stayed here, and the more I kept coming here, I started recognizing that this fellowship is not just a surface level fellowship. It wasn't just people sharing pleasantries at church. Yeah. It was more than that. It was a group of people who come together and actually care about your burdens and will actually pray for you. And will actually, you know, help you in times of need.
Yes, sir.
And too many times churches are like, it's almost like work sometimes for people, and people view other church attendees as coworkers or just acquaintances that you see once or twice a week. And we need to get to the point where, and I don't know if this is going to be just me monologuing everything we talked about earlier, but, you know, there comes a point where you need to have people that you can depend on, and not just people that you see an hour or two a week. It needs to be a deeper relationship, a close relationship with some good Christian people. And I said this earlier, it's not about being best friends with everybody in your church. You need to find a good core group of Christians so that you can confide in, that they can help you with in your walk with Christ. It's so crucial as a Christian, and especially as a young Christian, to have those people in your life that have went through some of the things that you're going to go through in your life. If you didn't have some of those people going through situations and trials and storms, it would be a lot harder. And I know you mentioned having those people, Matthew. I remember you mentioning having those people that you can lay your burdens on, that you can, you know, just give it to them and help them hold it. What was the example you said from the forge?
Yeah, there was a picture where he was holding the sword out, and he had to hold it out at arm's length. And it got heavy, but then everybody would just stick a finger out. And there were several men there, and they would just lay a finger underneath that sword, and it took part of the weight, carried part of the burden.
Right.
And that anything you face, you might be overwhelmed with, but if you got brothers that'll help you pray for something, that lightens the load, puts you in a place where you can see it clearly. Right. You know, because we get overwhelmed.
Right.
We need help.
Right.
And God gives us brothers for that. You know, He gives us wife and, you know, to help us. But He also gives us brothers that know what we're going through on another level and have been through that and can help each other.
Right.
And it's important.
Yeah. And I talked about, too, you know, we need those people that you can confide in and have confidence that it's just going to be between you, them, and God, you know, and that will help you with those situations. You know, because I remember talking about how lonely it can be, you know, to not have those people that you that can help you in certain situations. So it's extremely important to have those people around you that can, you know, guide you in the right way and to help you whenever you go through something. Another thing we talked about is when you have a good group of Christians and you have good fellowship with Christians around you, you know, it'll set a good example of how you should live. We talked about how, you know, how when you see other people having a reverence of God, you, like I said in the first episode, we're mimetic creatures, will start mimicking that. So it's good to surround yourself with those people who revere God and and who hold God as their priority, because if you're not, you'll fall into you'll fall into the situation where you're hanging out with the wrong group and you're hanging out with people who will pull you down more so than you'll pull them up. And again, we're supposed to reach those, you know, who are unbelievers and stuff, but it can't be your lifestyle that matches up with them. It has to be separate from
them. Right, and we talked about this when I think we didn't get this through the difficulties, but in my teen boys class a few weeks ago, we talked about not lowering your standards for your friends, but raising your standards so that your friends are at least the same as you. You know, they have the same beliefs, they have the same values, they have the same goals, they have the same desires. And in a setting like our church, there's a lot of men here. And if you get to know some of these guys, there's some pretty awesome men here.
Yes.
You know, honestly, this is my friends. You know, I don't have friends outside of here.
That's it.
And you know, there's some pretty awesome guys go here.
So many different testimonies.
Right.
That's what makes it amazing. It's like, if you're wondering if somebody's been through something, yeah, there's
somebody here.
Everybody.
Right.
And they're not just fish stories, they're real. You know, I mean,
well, and they genuinely want to help you.
Yeah.
They're not gonna broadcast what your business anywhere else.
Judge you for it either.
No. Right. No, this is a really good group of men. And I know the women have the same thing on their end, but you know, we have to speak what we know.
Right.
But there's some great men of God here.
We're blessed big time.
Yeah. And it's good too, I mean, when you go to events like we talked about the men's conference this past weekend, and you know, you went to youth camp, and that's good fellowship for, you know, for the younger people. But it's good because you can grow closer to them, and you can get deeper into conversations with them outside of just the, hey, how you doing? You know, you know, hope you have a good day. You know, see you tonight, God willing. You know, and it's a lot stronger of a kinship when you can be in those situations. I mean, you look at the disciples with Jesus. They went to synagogue. They went to him. You know, they went and ate with him. They went and fellowshiped with him in other places. You know, just them. You know, it wasn't just, I'll see you on synagogue. Yeah. You know.
Well, something, too, is that, and y'all know this well, too. If you're in a ministry position, no matter what that is in a church, your time at church is even harder to enjoy that fellowship. You are busy. I mean, to begin the service, get things prepped for the service, you know, and me and Brother Mike and the other preachers, whatever, there's always something going on. And it's like your mind is
focused.
Sometimes it's getting the job done or what happens if this happens, you know, how to react to that or what to do. Somebody's not able to be here, filling in a spot, or all these things. And it's hard to divide that mindset to where you can fellowship when your mind's also on taking care of things, you know, making sure this mm-hmm. is where it needs to be.
Right.
It's a challenge, you know, because you want to be able to just worship, you know, but mm-hmm. then you've also got that extra layer there of responsibility yeah. that you're, you know, and it's good to be able to go to things like the conference right. or be in services where you can just sit back and just relax and listen, get mm-hmm. fed. Even Brother Mike, I'm sure can testify 100% that, you know, the ministry is one of the hardest parts of any Christian's life, mm-hmm. no matter what ministry, because you work while you're trying to get fed.
Right.
And it's difficult. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes it can be more than what it should be.
Right.
You know, and it hurts, you know, so it's good to be in a midst of people that can carry the, you know, share the load. Right. We're blessed here because we've got people that can right. step in and, you know, help and kind of even it out a little bit. Because, mm-hmm. You know, there's churches where you do everything.
Right.
I mean, I used to be in a church where you might lead the choir, you might lead testimony service and preach too. I did that one service on Wednesday night. You know, I led choir. And then they have a testimony service in between choir and preaching. Mm-hmm. And then I was preaching that service too. I didn't sit down, you know, I mean,
yeah.
but that was expected. And nobody else was
right.
able to step up and do that.
Right.
And it's hard for people in ministry.
Right.
Well, and I mean, I know we've talked a lot about the men's conference that we just came back from. Mm-hmm. But there was like 3,000 like-minded men in this mm-hmm. building. There was no judgment.
Yeah.
Everybody had freedom to worship as they saw fit. Some cried, some raised their hands, mm-hmm. some almost danced. I mean, some, you know, it was that many people that cared about one another. They were there to grow closer to God. And even though the guy sitting beside you, you may not know his name or what state he's from. But y'all had a kinship.
Yeah.
You know, y'all your souls connected and you
that
know
feels
it's
good.
It's important to have those times even with people that you don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah, it's definitely good to surround yourself with other believers because I mean it strengthens your faith as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're mimetic creatures and we mimic who we're around,
mm-hmm.
and we start to become those people that we're around, which again is why it's good to have other believers to surround yourself with because mm-hmm. there's accountability
right.
that is there's accountability among other believers
right.
When you have a group mm-hmm. that you can plainly tell your friend. Your Christian buddy, you know, hey, you might not need to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, and that doesn't come from, that won't come from just a, hey, how you doing
right.
type of church member. That's going to come from somebody
from
that you bonded with, a friend,
yes.
a deeper relationship.
It loves
just,
you enough to be honest and say, I
right.
care about you.
Right.
Yeah, or I know, I can tell that you're discouraged.
Right.
I can tell that you're hurting. Until you've not really talked a lot lately,
mm-hmm.
you know, you start to look for those signs. You start to see those signs.
Right.
You can tell when somebody is. Like I said, you got to look past yourself, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
if I'm wrapped up in me,
right.
I'm not going to look at you.
Right.
You know, and help you. I'm going to be trying to help myself. And God's like, no, you help others.
Yeah.
And you help yourself in the process.
Right. Yeah.
And and you go to churches sometimes, and it's selfish.
And
it's a selfish thing, you know. I mean,
and it's so hard to live in the world without that support.
Right.
Because I mean, again, when we get caught up in ourselves, that's when we become weak.
Exactly.
And it's crucial for your walk with Christ to have that core group of believers around
mm-hmm.
you, because again. You know, you see other people and what they've been through, and you think to yourself, did this work? Did this not work? You know, what did they do? How did they handle this situation? And is that the way Christ would want me to react in this situation? And so you can have that example and that accountability when you have that true fellowship with other believers.
Yeah. Well, and something that you see here that I don't think you see in most churches, you may see them in a lot, but for a number of years, we did a men's deep sea fishing trip. And we had young men in their teens all the way up to, I think the oldest one was close to 90. Nice. And they intermingled and they intermixed, and there wasn't like an air between the younger guys and the older guys. It was just a group of men.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it there wasn't like, for lack of a better term, there wasn't like cliques. Mm-hmm. There wasn't like three or four guys over here or three or four guys mm-hmm. over here. You had a group of 20 men, and where you seen one, you saw all 20.
Right.
You know, it wasn't. And it's the same here with the fellowship. It's not the same two or three guys all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's important to have that diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And genuine on top of that.
Right.
And it's nice that no matter who you're with in our congregation, mm-hmm. you feel that way about them and with them. It's like if you can be that way with all of them, and you may not have a super deep relationship with all of them,
mm-hmm.
but if you can still be in kindred with one of them and be able to get along with any of them, right. that's a good thing.
Right.
And that helps. And you know, I mean, because I mean, everybody has a different personality. Some people are more withdrawn,
mm-hmm.
others are more outgoing. But if you can have that overall of it, that you can have that connection with each other, that still helps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like I said, I mean, if there's only just a few you can get along with, then you know, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, and I think too here, the way that the leadership of the church
mm-hmm.
includes everyone kindly sets the standard. Not to have the cliquish type,
yeah.
you know, the cliquish type setting. And I think Brother Mike does a really good job
yes.
as far as, I know he spreads himself thin,
mm-hmm.
but he's available to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and,
that's a big difference.
You know, he's leading by example.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's it's good to have that example
mm-hmm.
for the rest of the church. We're blessed with Pastor Mike to have him as our under shepherd, and to have
Definitely.
Him leading us for sure. Because you can really tell he cares for his sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And
does.
I don't know how he memorizes so many. He says he's not good with names, but I don't know how he memorizes so many prayer requests.
That's amazing.
And
I gotta write that stuff down.
Yeah, yeah, but it's. It's so good to have a church here where you can find good fellowship
mm-hmm.
with other believers, because it's crucial in everybody's walk, and so so yeah, that pretty much sums it up. So that kind of concludes our episode on fellowship. We talked about fellowship with unbelievers, fellowship with other Christians, and fellowship with God, and I hope you're able to see how some of that is bad, some of it's good, and I hope I inspire somebody to maybe try to grow a little bit closer in your relationship with another Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily have to be in our church, though that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love for our church to get strong together.
Yes.
But you know, in your individual walk, it would be good to find someone or find a good group of people so that you can grow closer with them and with Christ and help each other in your walk. So I appreciate everyone for listening, and until next time. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody.
nobody but Jesus.